Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares helps us keep things in perspective.
At the end of this life, when the dust settles, you'll begin to recognize the truth of what Christ said. And that is, you know what? You got to store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. When you serve the body, that's what you do. When you hand a cup of cold water because they're my disciple. When you're working in the refreshment, you know what? You won't lose your reward.
It's often tempting to put pastors and missionaries on a pedestal. From an outside perspective, the preacher's job certainly seems more glamorous and important than the person serving donuts. However, Pastor Mike Fabares will be the first to tell you that's just not the case. Today on Focal Point, as we conclude our series called Plugged In, we're discovering the important role each of us plays in the family of God. Pastor Mike is teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's dive in.
This week's sermon, as Paul gets to the last part of chapter 12, is addressing folks that are already in the game, and you've got a sense of how you can contribute to love and serve the bride of Christ. So Paul says in verse number 12, the body. He says, your physical body, it's a unit. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. My body answers to one name, right? Just one guy here, lots of parts to it. Now, he says, so it is with Christ. That's how it is in the body of Christ. That's how it works when you're part of God's family. Now we go back to the very first concern about the super spirituals, the haves and have-nots. We've seen this redundant theme throughout the chapter. And he says, yeah, we're all baptized by one spirit into one body. It doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your socioeconomic levels are. Doesn't matter what your ethnic backgrounds are. Doesn't matter how ostentatious or flashy your service to the bride may be. We're all the same. He says, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, it doesn't matter. We were all given the one spirit to drink. That ought to sound so familiar by now. He's making a point, leveling the playing field, no super spirituals in the body of Christ, all different roles, one same God. Terrific, verse 14. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now we're in the illustration, and he gets a bit humorous here in verse 15. If the foot should say, which of course, your foot hadn't said anything lately, I don't think. If you think it has, we need to talk. But the idea here is, let's just imagine each little part of my body is an individual that just has its own thinking and take on what it is or how it's doing as a part of your body. So my foot now is all of a sudden saying, you know what, because I'm not a hand, and man, that hand seems to have it made, and because I'm not a hand and I can't be a hand and you're not going to let me be a hand, or God, I'm not gifted enough to be a hand, if you want to use that terminology, I don't therefore belong to the body. Yeah, I don't want to play. I'm not going to be a part of this. Just because it has that attitude, the illustration goes on to say, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. It's still a foot. It may want to be a hand, it may not be a very happy foot, it may be a disgruntled foot, but it's still a part of the body. Verse 16, if the ear should say, now here's a fun one, because I'm not an eye, because God hasn't let me be an eye, because I'm not gifted enough to be an eye, if you want to use that terminology, I'm frustrated, I don't belong to the body, I quit. I don't want to play. No, I don't want to be an ear anymore. Paul's response, same response, verse 16, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. It's still a part of the body. Now, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, that's pretty gross. But not only is it gross and weird, it's not going to do very good at hearing. It's going to bump it. It's not going to work. And if the whole body were an ear, and that's even funnier, man, it wouldn't be able to smell anything, not to mention pick anything up or walk anywhere. It's not going to work as an ear. But in fact, verse 18, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, now let's think about it, where would the body be? It wouldn't work. So let's not think that way. Now you can see that the point of view in the first part of this illustration is a part of the body that says, you know, the grass is greener over there. I'm not real happy. It's the days when we serve in our role and we feel, put this down on your worksheet, we feel inferior. Jot that down. There are days we feel inferior, and you're going to feel that way. You're going to look across the street of ministry in the church and say, here I am Wednesday night, Awana vest on, behind the table at the Awana store, and it doesn't feel very cool, right? It's not very, but you know what? Electric guitar in church, you know, that I want to be that. and you're going to say, I don't want to do this anymore. So I quit. I don't want to be this. We need to recognize this. Here we go. First thing we need to recognize, the body illustration clearly illustrates that what we need to realize is that though you don't want to be an ear anymore, though you're tired of being a foot, the foot is important, the foot is necessary, we really need the foot, we really need the ear. Jot it down this way. The first thing we need to remember is this. Remember, we really need you. We, the body, need you. We gotta have you, see? If no one wants to do that thing, if you don't fulfill your role, if you want to sit on the bench, if you don't do what God has placed you and put you and prompted you to do, that opportunity that you've taken advantage of, we will suffer. And we've got to say, hey, wait a minute, the body of Christ really needs me. It is important that I do it because of that need. Look at verse 18. There's another reason here that should fuel us on. Look at it. What is it? Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged tithemi. It's a verb that talks about somebody placing like bricks in place in the building. God has tithemi. He's placed you, it says, arranged you, the parts of the body, every one of them. How many of them? Every one of them. Just as he wanted them to be. He's put them there. So what we need to do, second thing we need to do to motivate us on the days we feel inferior is remember this. God placed you there. We've got to recognize that. God has placed you there. And what does that do? It helps me say, then maybe I ought to stay here. Maybe I ought to not quit. Maybe I ought not underestimate working on this one small switch box for the kingdom of God. Maybe I ought to say that the God of the universe has called me to work on the switch box. All right, days we feel inferior. Something switches, though, in verse 20. Look at it. Now, all of a sudden, it's not about the whining ear or the whining foot. Now we have, the point of view switches. It says, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand. Now, the eye's feeling pretty good about itself. Everybody looks at the eye. It cannot say to the hand that's just dangling down there at the bottom of the sleeve. It can't say, I don't really need you. You're expendable. Can't say that. And the head, which is awfully important, cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But the head, if it's thinking properly, should not say feet are unimportant. Feet are important. Now, second part of this outline, let's put it down this way. On the days you feel superior, do this. Affirm that they're all essential. All the other parts, every other part, affirm it. What will you do this week to affirm, thank, and encourage those people? Why? Because they're essential. We talk about our junior hires being up at camp. If you do not have a junior hire, which is most of us, right? We don't have junior hires. And if you don't have a junior hire, your kids are older, you don't have kids, or your kids are younger, we don't much think about the junior high workers. But you know there's like 15, 18 adults on this trip from our church that have said, I'll blow off the weekend, whatever I might do, sit around. I'm going to go and minister to the kids. So they're at camp, snowed in potentially, right? Up in the mountains, trying to minister to the teenagers. Here's all I'm saying is, how often do we think about the importance and the essential nature of the ministry that those people do? Most of us sit around, we don't miss them, right? We don't even know who they are. We don't know their names. We don't, whatever. I guess everybody's doing their thing. But what we need to do is to think a little bit and to think that is important. As a matter of fact, maybe we need to get kind of connected and think through the ministry they provide. But you think junior hires are crazy now. Just think if every person that was prompted by God to minister to junior hires didn't do their work. Let's just think about that. Let's just say they never did it. At the Prez Church, at our church, at the Calvary Chapels, at all the other churches, at the Hills, the Coast, all the other churches around, which you just say those two words, you pretty much got all the churches around. You know what? We'd have some big trouble. You think Shorecliffs is crazy now? Take all the people that are committed to making a difference in the lives of junior high kids in the body of Christ. Take them out. Sit them down. Do you think they're essential? Oh, yeah. Maybe it's time for us to find out who they are, how I can affirm them. And again, we can't know every ministry in the church. Certainly a church our size, I know we can't touch everyone. But all I'm saying is just pick a couple. Figure out the names of the people that work the soundboard or work in the kids ministry or go on these missions trips. Think about them. Find out their names and say, I need to write them. I need to encourage them. I need to affirm their important contribution to the good of the body. Affirm it. Make it an action step for you. Because I know that sometimes, particularly, we want to get rid of the hand when the hand starts giving us trouble, right? I mean, that's when I'm thinking I can do without you, when they really, you know, are bothering us. When the tonsils are inflamed, right, or the appendix hurts, I got a solution for that. It's called scalpel, right? God says that's probably not the best first step. As a matter of fact, maybe what we need to do is to get into their sandals and appreciate a little bit of what they do to contribute to the body of Christ. So affirm that they're essential. Affirm their importance. And you know what? That'll help you avoid being superior, which, by the way, is one of the biggest problems to the health of the church. Think about it. You think God's down on whiners? What do you think he thinks of prideful people? Think about it. What does he say? Repeated over and over and over and over in the Bible. God is opposed to the proud. He'll give grace to the humble, but he's opposed to the proud. Now think of the irony of that. I want to serve God. I want to do something good for the bride, but I think I'm better than hands and feet and you know, ribs and shoulders and elbows. How does that work? God opposes that. I'm opposed to the proud. So let's try and do something for God. No, God opposes that. There's such an irony there. And we got to recognize that it's bad. You know, it is the archetypal sin of the universe. You recognize that, right? I mean, the universe was going pretty fine. You know, everything was pretty cool. And it took a big left turn when one person said this, God's lucky to have me. That's all it took, right? I mean, those weren't the words. But the idea was, I'm pretty special. That's the one thing turned everything south. Now, do you think God's going to kind of let that just exist and say, well, not a big deal? When we start to have that attitude in the church, God's lucky to have me. My roommate in college, I've shared this with you before. My roommate in college had brothers, and they used to play in the street all the time. He used to play football in the street. Well, one day a car came around the corner and ran over his younger brother. His younger brother died right there in front of him, hit by a car because they were playing football in the street. Now my college roommate is a pastor and the father of five back in Indiana. When his five kids want to go play football in the street, what do you think he thinks about that? Do you think he lets them play in the street? Oh, Dad, we'll be careful. No way, bud. You don't play in the street. Now think about God. He saw the world, the universe, everything that was good turn when it all started with a guy thinking, God's lucky to have me. I'm pretty special. Do you think he's going to just tolerate that? Well, be careful with that attitude of superiority. Don't let it get out of hand. God doesn't do that. He opposes it. Best way to shut down your ministry, just start thinking you don't need the hand or the elbow or the shoulder or the toenail. We need it all. They're all essential. He drives it home a little bit further. Bottom of verse 24, God is combined. Here's the concept again. God is the subject. God is involved in this. He has combined the members of the body. He's put them together. That's a word that talks about mixing them up. He has commingled them. Starts with a prefix, sum, to put together. He has pulled together the parts of the body here. It's kind of a repeat of verse 18, different word, and it's a word that relates to kind of huddling up. He's pulled together the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body, bottom of verse 25, but that its part, now here's a new word, should have equal, circle this one, concern for each other. If one part suffers, then every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Then he lists the examples again. It's a different list as you learned last week. And just examples of how we serve in the body of Christ and how they served in the body of Christ. Transition verse, verse 31. We'll get that when we set up chapter 13. But here it is. Listen, concern for each other. We're so commingled. We're so connected. We're so close that when one part suffers, we suffer. When one part is honored, we're honored. See, we rejoice with that. Let's put it this way. That verb is important. The concept is important. The test is if we care. I'll put it this way. The second thing we need to do on the days we're feeling a little better than the other ministries in the church, that my contribution is more important. Here we go. Ready? Get close enough to care. Get close enough to care. Start making your circle of involvement or contact or communication. Let it overlap into areas that you now know nothing about. Let's think about it. Unless you're in the seniors group, you don't know much about the seniors group in our church. But if you were to just, I don't know, do one thing, volunteer to go with them on one of their trips. They go on trips all the time. They do these day things and they have a Bible, all that. Maybe you just say, I'm going to go and be a part of that. Just get to know these people. Now, when you do that, and then Jack Welty says, one of our seniors has died. See, you don't go, oh, that's too bad. I guess I should pray for the family. Now you suffer with it, see. Or maybe you should on a weeknight come here and hang out in the bungalow where that junior high ministry goes on and see it and think about it and appreciate it and get to know it just a little bit, just enough so that when the people, the 18 adults that spent their weekend overseeing that ministry up in the mountains this weekend, when they come back and happen to mention next week when they have a cup of coffee in their hand, that you know what, six kids really turned their life around for God in that big group and six of them now are on a whole new path. You won't go, oh, that's nice. You'll actually rejoice with them. But to do that, you got to traverse a few lines. You got to get involved. And all I'm saying is not just involved in your area of ministry, but at least enough involved, enough connection, enough communication, enough exposure, you get close enough to some other ministries that you care. Maybe you should stick around after our Sunday is done here and you all clear out and watch the team of people that comes in here and transforms this auditorium into a gym or whatever happens next on the schedule. Something tonight, I think. Well, maybe you'll see all those guys that care about this facility and they look for scratches on the wall and they repaint the place and they move these. You go, wow, I didn't even think about that. And then all of a sudden when something goes wrong with the physical plant or water main breaks like it did the other month, you'll say, wow. You won't just be, oh, that's too bad. You'll say, wow, that must have been a lot of work for the guys that had to respond to that and redo the tile on the floor. All I'm saying is a little exposure. And I know you can't be exposed and be connected to or communicate with every area of ministry, right? Can't do it. But I'm just saying, go reach outside of your own thing and just get exposed to some other parts. And then all of a sudden, you know what? You won't feel so the top of the list. We're all the same. We're all a part of this. We all do different jobs. Some work on this switch box. Some are designing the fuselage. Some design the windows. Some put the rivets in the side of the thing. But you know what? We're all working on the same thing here. God's really not into us being involved in a pity party. He doesn't want us quitting. He doesn't want us bailing out. He doesn't want us feeling superior. He doesn't want us being pompous. He doesn't want us being arrogant. He wants us to all humbly, with a mutual appreciation, march into ministry together. Here's my prayer and my hope. My prayer and my hope is that this sermon series, unlike any other, will be one that that resonates and has a residual effect in our lives. That 5 months from now, that 15 months from now, that 5 years from now, that the call and the encouragement and the push that the Holy Spirit, I hope, has done in your life, it continues, that it's constantly there, that we need to care, that we need to get involved, that we need to own the ministry here, that we need to be putting our hand to the plow. That's my prayer, because I don't think we're going to make it without it. And if that sounds too corporate serving, right, and now we're all, vassals to the big, ecclesiastical machine, and, if that sounds too self-serving, let me just throw this little caveat in at the end of our four-week series. This will be the best change of priorities you'll ever have. One day, you'll thank God, and you'll say, I'm so glad I responded to that series, and it motivated and fueled my Christian life for the next 50 years, if you live that long. Why? Because there's no better way for you to expend your life. I thought of that when I was flipping channels and saw the 80th rerun of that Kevin Costner baseball film. If you build it, you'll go broke or whatever. What's it called? Field of Dreams, right? Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams. Well, I watched a little clip of that, and it was the clip where they talk about this baseball player that gets his crack at the big leagues for just that one inning. Remember that? His name was Archie Moonlight Graham. He was a real character that they pulled into this fictional story. And of course, the story is all about this big draw, this magnetism of Major League Baseball, and everybody wants to be a part of it. And everybody, it's like it's a spiritual encounter with baseball. Can't identify, but that's what the movie's about. But there's this guy that gets close, but he only gets 5 minutes in the big leagues. Archie Moonlight Graham. And after that, it was over. And after that, the dream, it was gone. It didn't happen for him. In real life, Archie Moonlight Graham, he played for the Giants. He did only play for one inning, and unlike the movie, he didn't get to bat. All he did was to get to go out in the field for three outs. That was his whole entire career encounter with the big leagues. After that, it was over. The next summer, he went to school, and soon he became a pediatrician. That part of the movie was true. And he practiced medicine for children, pediatrics, for 50 years in a small Minnesota town, and that's all he did. Well, in the movie, of course, Kevin Costner has an encounter with Doc Graham at the end of the movie there. Remember that? Played by Burt Lancaster, and Costner steps up to Lancaster and starts to lament how sad it was that he missed his shot at the big leagues, and he only just got a 5-minute taste of it. That scene is poignant because it reminded me of this passage, because here's what Lancaster's response was to that. It's a good line. He says, son, he said, if I'd only been a doctor for 5 minutes, he said, now that would have been a tragedy. And I thought to myself as I watched that the last time, we live in a culture of baseball fanatics. Oh, it's not baseball. It's Orange County life. It's the American dream. It's going after the things that we think are really important down here. And if by chance you have your opportunity to do that because you got a nice college education and you got nice opportunities and good connections, but instead of pursuing the corporate ladder or instead of spending all that extra time and working overtime and getting that extra client, you leave the office early so that you can come and go on a retreat with junior hires up to the mountain and you expend your life there or in the nursery or in the Awana store or in the music team, and you say no to climbing the fast track of Orange County life because you're expending week after week, hour after hour, dollar after dollar. You don't get the big vacations. You don't get all that stuff. But you invest your life in ministry. When someone comes up to you at the end of your life and says, wow, what a bummer. You really could have had a really cool, you know, life down there, a cush life in South Orange County. Be sure to respond like Doc Graham did. And say to them what is so eternally and biblically appropriate. And that is, you know, what would have been a tragedy would have been if I only just gave, you know, just a scant few minutes, a few days, a few hours. You know, if I just had done that service to the bride of Christ for 5 minutes, now that would have been a tragedy. See, because serving the body of Christ, with that kind of lifestyle, that sacrifice, going the extra mile, staying the extra hour, spending the extra dollar for the good of the bride, is not going to get you on the cover of Orange County Living magazine, right? You won't make it. Instead, you'll say no to lots of cush opportunities for the American dream when everyone else is rushing after the adulation and lights of the ball field of life. You're going to say no to that for something else. And when you do, and you say, you know what, I spent my life investing in the church. I left work early. I didn't take the extra job. Instead of spending my vacation in the Bahamas, we went and did missions work. When you say all that and rack up a lifetime of service to the bride, at the end of this life, when the dust settles, you'll begin to recognize the truth of what Christ said. And that is, you know what? You got to store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. When you serve the body, that's what you do. When you hand a cup of cold water because they're my disciple, when you're working in the refreshment, you know what? You won't lose your reward. Problem with Orange County life is we're really busy storing up our treasure where moth can eat it up, rust can destroy it, and thieves can break in and steal it. Man, it's a priority change. Don't let this be a little bump on your path of sanctification. Let this series resonate so that it can adjust your priorities from here on in.
What a great reminder from Pastor Mike Fabares as he wraps up his series called Plugged In. It's so important to take the time every now and then to examine our priorities and readjust when we've gotten off track. And you know, that's why at Focal Point, we're here for you daily with clear, accurate Bible teaching. As you join us each day, whether it's via the radio, web, podcast, or mobile app, we'll open the scriptures together and recenter our lives around biblical priorities. And you can trust that you'll hear what the Bible really says. No watering down or sugarcoating. If you believe in the importance of straightforward, hard-hitting programs like this one, will you give today to help us continue reaching more people with Pastor Mike's teaching? Your participation is an essential part of our mission. And to say thanks, we'll send you a powerful book called Side by Side, Walking with Others in Wisdom and Love. The author is respected Christian counselor Ed Welch, and he firmly believes that friends make the best helpers. And so, in this accessible introduction to biblical counseling, he equips believers to share their burdens with one another through gentle words of wisdom and kind acts of love. If you're eager to be used by God, this book will help you turn everyday relationships and conversations into deep, life-giving interactions, reflecting the transformative love of God to hurting hearts. Again, it's called Side by Side, Walking with Others in Wisdom and Love, and we'll send you a copy with our thanks when you donate today. Here's the number to call, 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or give online at focalpointradio.org. And thank you again for your support. If you'd rather send your donation by mail, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And be sure to include a note requesting the book Side by Side by Edward T. Welch. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. So glad to have you with us. Tomorrow, we'll continue our study in 1 Corinthians with a new series, Prompted by Love. We're learning that our motivation matters to God. Tuesday on Focal Point.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's word moving in your heart right now? Drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.